Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, January 29th. I'm Ray Graff. Hey, are you in the market for a new home? Do you plan on putting your property up for sale? Well, you are in luck because we have two real estate pros in the studio with us today to answer your questions. Maggie Morrell and Stephen Weiss are with William Pitt Sotheby's in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Together, they have more than 45 years of experience in real estate, which is remarkable since they are so youthful. It's unbelievable. Well, it's radio. Just buy the premise, buy the gag. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. If you have a real estate question, 800-348-2551. Maggie, Stephen, and your real estate calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. If you are buying or selling a home or residential property, this is your program. We have two real estate professionals in the studio today to answer all of those little questions or the big questions. Maggie Morrell is here and Stephen Weiss. They are realtors with William Pitt Sotheby's in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Maggie has been in real estate for more than 15 years, originally from Brooklyn already. She has owned and operated commercial property and has knowledge of land use, staging for sale, and negotiations. Maggie has represented all types of property, from mansions to bowling alleys. Stephen has been in residential and commercial real estate for more than 30 years. He learned construction, building renovation, historic renovation, planning, and inspection from his grandfather, who was a master carpenter. Stephen is a licensed broker in Massachusetts, New York, and Connecticut. Maggie and Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey, thank you, Ray.
Now, I know that you're known as the House Whisperers, but yes. I do ask that you speak loudly and clearly and enunciate. No whispering on the program here today. The number to call is 800-348-2551 if you have a question. 800-348-2551. Or you can email us. I forgot to mention this at the start of the show. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Well, Maggie and Steve, you have not been on this program before. Right. So before we get going with the topic at hand, let's learn a little bit more about you. And we'll start with Maggie.
Yes.
Oh, we're off to a flying start.
Yes, yes.
Oh, boy.
Take
stuttering.
Two.
First time here.
Yes. We've established that. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
But things are good. Don't be nervous. Now this is fun. We'll get into your strong suit, which is real estate, in a moment. I was just, you know, keeping it conversational.
Absolutely right.
Stephen, how about you?
How about me? Well, first of all, I can always interview Maggie if you
I understand you've worked some shtick. So what are you like? You're like the Stephen Edie of real estate.
You know, I've been in business for quite a while. I've certainly seen a lot, and I've sold a lot and have dealt with a lot of different people. I have to tell you that I haven't had more fun, more interesting moments until I actually started working with Maggie. Maggie brings a certain dynamic to the team, and together.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I'm a good interviewer.
Yeah, so far so good.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'll just go get a cup of coffee.
There we go. There we
it's
go.
Fine.
We don't need you, right?
No, right.
I'll
no,
take one too.
Okay.
Exactly. So, but together, you know, our goal is to help people. You know, we both love real estate. We both get excited about building projects. We also really, and Maggie can chime in when she stops shaking.
She's
over here.
Fine. Don't be nervous, Maggie.
I was great until the microphone.
Till the light went on.
The light went on. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Remember, no one's listening. Okay, that's the real key.
Oh, that's not true.
No?
I see the board is
You'll
already lighting up.
You'll have to get a little
up.
Closer to Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I see the board is already lighting up. So people are listening.
Right.
What I was going to say is I think our biggest thrill is to really just help people through a transaction. Buying and selling real estate is very nerve-wracking, can be very nerve-wracking, and no matter how many times you've done it. So what Maggie and I try to do is we walk three people through it, and at the end they are – we hope they are very satisfied and relaxed, and it's a positive transaction.
There's very little bought a house. There's not a lot of relaxation.
Well,
there.
It's the biggest decision people are going to make in their lives.
Yeah, and
the single biggest decision.
And then you have to sign all those papers at closing, which
you just need a pen.
Yes. Yeah,
well,
you don't even know what they are.
You just need one pen.
Give me this piece.
And
of
now you can do it on the computer.
So tell me about your fear of bats.
my fear of bats.
Oh, you like
no,
bats?
No, I love bats.
Why do you love bats? Come closer to the microphone.
I was a biology major in undergraduate, and I studied bats.
Oh, so you really do like bats?
Oh, animal communication. I studied the way they communicate. Absolutely. So I can actually go into a house and collect the guano and spread it in your garden, so we can do the best of both worlds.
She actually can, folks.
Okay, and have you done this?
Absolutely.
So you've sold a lot of house with bats.
Well, I look for the bats, and I can find the telltale signs of a home that has bats in the roof or in the shutters.
Now, I know you've heard the show, but now that we've mentioned bats and houses, get ready for about 17 calls about bats and houses. Let's take a couple of calls. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. David in Johnstown, do you have anything to say about bats, sir?
In New York State, I know you're from Massachusetts, evidently. When you buy a house, do you have to pay the 8% sales tax in New York State?
Well, Stephen, you're licensed in New York anyway.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. And I would refer to most of those questions to your attorney and as far as the sales tax is concerned.
But you even can't say?
About sales tax. On a home.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Oh, you don't know.
Yeah.
We're
looking to talk about the process of buying and selling a house, how to get the properties together, how to stage them.
Okay. What's the number one rule when you're we've talked about this on this real estate program many times before. Maggie and Stephen, what is the number one rule when staging a home?
The number one rule to staging a home is prepare.
What? Get yourself prepared.
Yes.
But, you know, you're living in the home, right? And so this is it's a difficult thing.
So what I like to say to folks who are preparing to sell a home is try to think of a hotel room because you're going to prepare your house to declutter it. You're going to declutter it. You're going to try to get rid of smells. You're going to try to brighten up the place. Remember, you're preparing a house for sale, and you don't know. Everybody has different tastes in homes.
Yeah.
So the good thing is, think of it as a hotel room. Think as you're preparing your house to look like a hotel room. You're gonna take a lot of things off the shelves. You're going to brighten it up. You're going to clean it up, and
open the curtains.
Yes.
Take the curtains off.
You live there. Yes. You don't want to have the curtains off at night.
Well, do you want to sell your house?
See, now that's not the answer that I would be looking for.
And please, folks, if you're selling a house, take those 40-watt bulbs and replace them with higher wattage bulbs. There are many different houses where there's very low. People want to save electricity.
There's a reason for that, though. Some houses really don't look too good inside.
You know what? Almost every house looks better, brighter.
A nice paint job.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's always something
to consider. And if you have cats or dogs, be cognizant of the smells. I tell people go and buy the expensive cat litter.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Well, we're joined today by Maggie Morell and Stephen Weiss of William Pitt Sotheby's in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. It's a real estate show today. Let's get another call or two in before the first break. 800-348-2551 is the number. Paul in Newburgh. Hello, Paul. You're on.
Hi. Thank you. Yes, I'm considering purchasing a property that's both residential and commercially zoned in the northwest corner of Connecticut, just south of the Berkshires. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if there's anything. Maybe this is a lending question, not a question for you. But if it's different in getting a loan because of that dual zoning. And also my other question is, someone recently said to me, if you put enough down, you don't have to qualify at all. I don't know if that's 30%, 40, 50, whatever. I don't know if that's true or not. Would you know that?
Qualify for the loan? I would think you'd still need to qualify for the loan.
Right. When we talk about being prepared, this is a very good question. But when we talk about being prepared, you're working with a team of folks. So certainly the zoning aspects of it, for the property that you're looking at, I would certainly consult. An attorney or your lender, as far as what's available for you, no matter what you put down.
Is that an advantage, though, to have a house that is both commercial and residential? I would think that would be a headache deluxe.
Well, only if you want to use it for residential and commercial use. I mean, certainly. Is it in a high traffic area? Is that the reason why it's residential commercial?
It's on 41. It's for the area. It's for that area. There's traffic, but it wouldn't be considered certainly in any urban area high traffic. Mm-hmm.
Would you be putting in a
northwest corner of Connecticut? It's a couple thousand people live in that community, but people do go up and down between there and certainly going to the Berkshires mm-hmm. on that road.
Are you interested in opening a store there in addition to living there?
Or? Well, it was a garden center, and there is a store, and I'm considering it. I'm considering actually creating a bee sanctuary there, and maybe selling honey and bee products from the old garden store. Yeah, okay.
That's first of all, that's terrific. We know that how important bees are. To the
pollinators.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like,
well,
goes along with
we have to take a quick break, unfortunately, Paul. You need to put a casino in, right? It's Connecticut. Put a nice casino there on Route 41. Perfect. No? All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Stephen Weiss is here. Maggie Morrell, real estate here on the program. 800-348-2551. Back with more of your calls in a minute. Back with the House Whisperers. They've been thankfully speaking up. Maggie Morrell and Stephen Weiss are here. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's real estate today on the program, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Are you guys having fun so far?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah? Yes.
Okay. Everybody's relaxed and good. It's good?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Deanne in West Sand Lake, you're on.
Oh, hi. Okay, well, I have two questions. The first one is, let me ask the simplest one first.
Okay.
You said to lighten up, put brighter bulbs in the light fixtures. Mm-hmm. But my light fixtures all say 60 watt maximum.
Right. Well, actually, I think I said take out the 40 watts. Do you have 60 watts?
So,
right.
You can go up to the maximum. That's okay.
I'm giving you permission to go up to 60 watts.
Well, that's very nice of you. Now, I didn't know you were an electrician as well. Good for you.
but I can change
the other question I had is in relation to selling the house. Now, I'm on a fixed income, and I had somebody do some work because I had mold in the attic, and they fixed that. It was great. But he looked around. I asked him to look around and tell me what needs to be fixed, and he saw a lot of stuff, and he said, my house is really small, but he said, to fix all the little cracks in the whatever you call that stuff.
Plaster?
Plywood.
Plywood?
Plaster. Oh, plaster.
Whatever the walls are made out of.
Oh, plaster.
Probably plaster.
Anyway, to fix that and just paint it all would be somewhere between $7,000 and
$10,000. What? Now, no.
But that's the thing. And see, for me, I'm thinking, if I had the money from selling the house, I could pay for that. Right. But to pay it up front, well, plus I have this idea that, if I want to do work on my house, I want to enjoy it. So I don't want to wait till I'm ready to sell it. Mm-hmm. I want to go ahead and enjoy it while I can afford it, if I can afford it. So anyway, I just wondered about, I know they always say, do everything, you get a higher price. But I'm wondering if in the end it's really always worth it.
Well, it's not always worth it. How about that? I think that the first thing to do is, is to declutter, is to clean up and declutter. I think that's going to – that in itself will make the house present a whole lot better. And obviously, decluttering doesn't really cost anything, just time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since you're you don't have to go crazy. I know we've had folks that wanted to – completely finish up their basement. It had never been finished before, and they thought that that somehow is going to sell the house, and that would be an investment of obviously several thousand dollars. And we told these folks that if you're just going to do that to sell the house, it's not worth it. I would rather be able to adjust the price to similar houses that don't have a finished basement or that are not perfect. It's better to adjust the price than actually to spend the money because, certainly you can certainly spend a lot of money and sometimes you don't always get it back in a transaction.
Mm, there you go.
Deanne, let me ask you this. Are there any leaks in the plaster? Are there any visible stains?
No, it's plywood. I mean, what's the name? Wallboard or whatever you call it. It's not plaster.
Oh, sheetrock. Sure.
Sheetrock. Okay.
Sheetrock. But the sheetrock is coming away in certain places. There are cracks you can see, and they have to put the tape over it again and then repaint it all
right. Deanne, again, I think that if it's going to if it's going to cost you just a little bit of money, certainly do it. But if you're preparing a house for sale and you are on a fixed income, again, I think declutter, clean it up, brighten it up, open up those shades, put those 60 watt bulbs in. Smells are very important also. You know, a lot of people, we all live in houses, we're all used to our smells, which are cooking smells or animal smells or just basically living smells.
Right.
Bring somebody in to your house. If you have a friend, do you have a friend who is who's a good friend but who is very opinionated, Deanne?
Yeah, I have a friend who comes in. I can't even invite her in because she'll run her finger over.
Well, you know,
that's the best friend to have right now.
Exactly, Deanne. This is somebody that you want. You actually want. She can help you here because what you'd like to do is. I would do a general cleanup, general decluttering, and then invite her over. And no, you want to ask her, you know, have a sort of semi-interested or uninterested third party come in, just like this fellow did, who was a contractor, and tell you how they perceive
the house. What you don't want to hear.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's generally why, you're certainly able to sell the house on your own. But that's also where realtors sometimes come in handy because they can be the bad cops.
Yeah, there you go.
Where they can say, you know what, listen, they see it with a fresh eye. And a fresh eye is very important, especially when you're trying to sell a house.
All right, Deanne, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Real Estate Today, the House Whisperers, Stephen Weiss, Maggie Morrell here from William Pitt Sotheby's in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Peter in Niskayuna. Peter, you're on.
Hello, indeed. And Ray, may I just say up front, real estate's a fine topic. You could crank up the frequency on real estate shows.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell my producer, Jim LaVoo. You know, I don't even know what's on until about 10 a.m., and then I figure out what the show is.
Before?
Yeah. You know, they don't let me do anything here. I just read the copy and sit around, you know.
My question is this. So I came across a book in the library last year by a guy who his key to riches was developing raw land. So his niche was kind of buy something 10 to 20 acres and rural and subdivide it. You know, a great feature would be if it's on some kind of water or if you could turn it into 4-acre gentleman's farms. Mm-hmm. And what I'm wondering is whether your guests have any experience or participating in deals like that. And what they would think of as the appealing features for that kind of subdividing and reselling project.
Well, okay.
That's an interesting question.
It's in the eye of the beholder, I would imagine.
Well, you know what? Actually, Peter, that's a very interesting question because right now Maggie and I are working on a piece of property that is exactly that. Shall I give you the good news or the bad news?
Oh, golly. Start with the bad news.
You want to go to the bad news? All right. So it's not bad. It's the problem, the challenge. I'm sorry. We don't use the word problem in real estate.
Right.
We use challenge.
You haven't seen my house.
I owe Maggie a quarter. The challenge with a piece of property that has a water feature is our floodplains and wetlands. Because a property has some water element that runs through it currently with the current laws that exist in every state, there have to be certain setbacks but far from the lake or far from the stream.
Yeah.
In the old days, you could build a house belly up to a lake or belly up to a stream.
Right.
And you could do a development all around a lake. Now what is currently in play is the fact that you have to be a certain distance away, especially if you're not on a town sewer system. If it's a rural area where you'd have septic systems, that can be a little bit dicey. So that's the bad news.
Okay. What's the good news?
Okay. The good news is it sounds like a great project. You know, I always like people
do your
kind
research.
Of, yeah. People thinking outside the box there, Peter. So, but you're going to have to do a lot of research. I would immediately try to look up the plans for this property, the survey of the property. They exist in your local government. I would talk to a good surveyor who's going to be able to denote
engineer.
Right, an engineer who will be able to denote the setbacks required for water features. And Once you get that, remember, you're going to start. You're almost going to start backwards. You're going to work on the setbacks, and then you're going to be able to parcel out how many properties that you can subdivide.
All right, Peter, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Real Estate Today, Stephen Weiss at Maggie Morrell are here. And let's go to Karen in Niskayuna. Hi, Karen, you're on.
Hi, thanks for doing the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have a question that I have felt sort of at a loss for where to find the answer. And it's about the prospect of selling my house given the condition of my neighbor's property.
Oh, boy.
I know. It's such a frustrating situation in that I bought my house 20 years ago. I'm about to retire as a school teacher, and I've put my heart and soul into making sure the condition of that house is beautiful. And, many years ago, the house next door when I bought it had a neighbor that did the same. And then they sold it. You know, they expanded their family and sold it, and in moved a family that has completely let it get to sort of a horrific condition. And short of code violations, you know, that shockingly don't seem to be being violated, you know, and short of the fact that the neighbors don't seem to be receptive to any kind of reasoning or heart-to-heart, I haven't really gone full force yet because it's such a delicate subject. Do you have any strategies, coping mechanisms? What kind of a loss am I looking at taking when I get ready to sell the house in a few years?
Well,
it feels hopeless.
Okay.
Well, Karen, first off, congratulations on retiring.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Now you'll actually have some time to confront what's ahead of you. It seems like
exactly, and I don't plan to sell right away. So this gives me some time to. It almost seems like a situation where I have to sort of come at it very strategically and in a piecemeal manner, not so as not to completely alienate them.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
Can I ask a non-real estate question that pertains to I'm not an expert, but you're in Niskayuna, which is a lovely place. Can it really be that much of a drain on Karen's property value if the place next door doesn't look all that wonderful, if everything else in the neighborhood looks great?
Well, actually, that's a good question. Yeah. Does everything else in the neighborhood look great, Karen?
It does, yeah. It's a lovely neighborhood. There's a lot of pride in it. You know, there's small, humble homes. I mean, I'm just a school teacher, but it's not one of the more affluent sections of Niskayuna, but the lawns are, for the most part, impeccably cared for, and the homes look great, yes. And this is definitely an eyesore on the block.
Mm-hmm. We actually have a property right now. People drive to the house. They love the house, but there's the neighbor has a ugly fence.
Yeah.
And they see the shed next door. They always see this ugly fence in the shed. They hear the dog barking. Mm-hmm. And every time they look at the house.
Well, dog barking is a different quality of life thing.
Well, the dog barking, the shed, and the fence, the combination is always a deterrent.
But I guess my question is, if it's one house and everything else looks great and Karen's house looks great, I mean, is she going to take a big hit?
Karen, I don't think you're going to take a big hit. However, I was going to ask you, how are your relations with your neighbor? I mean, are they cordial?
Fine until I sort of intimate that I wish things could be more kept up. You know, I've spoken to them about garbage that blows onto the lawn or... You know, they have a beat-up truck that the tires are all flat, and, you know, I'll complain to the town, and they'll blow up the tire, they'll inflate the tires, and then, you know, the truck hasn't moved in 10 years. So, it's tricky. Code violations are tricky, and even the guy at Niskayuna, whom I know well, says, look, we're a complaint-driven system, and short of this and short of that, there's not much we can do about it.
I
have tried, but when I try, they get very defensive.
Right.
And, you know, as a school teacher, I pretty much mastered the art of diplomacy after 32 years, and I feel like I'm kind of at a loss. The neighbors on the other side who aren't looking to sell but get very frustrated with the condition aesthetically have offered to paint it for free, have offered to cut back shrubs for free, and you know, I think it hurts their pride or something because they seem to get...
Right. Well, actually, that was one of my recommendations, is to offer, certainly, we've been involved in a situation where there also was a house where, unfortunately, this gentleman just liked to throw everything out. But then it turns out that he really didn't, he wanted to get rid of it. So they actually invested in a dumpster. Actually said, if we got rid of it for you, would that be okay? And he... did accept it. But yes, it is embarrassing for that neighbor. Certainly what I would tell listeners is don't go to war with your neighbors over this, okay?
Right.
Because that's never going to be good.
No, it doesn't go anywhere. It
right.
makes it worse.
Yeah.
For
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Definitely want to choose.
You can try as much as you can, and obviously some people everybody lives differently. So Karen, I would put the house on the market and make your house as wonderful as possible. I don't know if it's a lovely block. I think you're going to be okay. I wouldn't, you know, maybe it might be 2% to a 5% hit on a property value generally.
Okay. All right.
I don't think
terrible.
It's going to be anything. What? Well, listen, we know
that's not terrible. I was thinking more along the lines of 20%. I mean,
no,
it's so
no,
bad,
no.
You know?
No, no, no. You can, you know, but the thing is this also, I make a recommendation also when you're, if you're advertising the house, if you're, I don't know, are you going to go through, well, it doesn't make a difference whether you go through a realtor or not. When you talk to people about the house or, you disclose that right away. Say, hey, listen, I just want to let you know you're coming to my house.
Yeah.
My neighbors are pigs.
Little strong.
Okay. All right. I'm very sorry. I do apologize. I hope your neighbor's not listening to the show. But I'm saying the idea is that one of the biggest mistakes people do when they're trying to sell their house is they try to mask a problem.
Yeah.
And you know, they always say the cover up sometimes is worse than the crime.
Right.
Be upfront. Say, hey, listen, you know what? My neighbors are a little sloppy. How about that, folks?
Yeah, put it in the ad. Say, hey, we're the one right next to the dumpy place.
I wouldn't put it in the ad.
No?
There, Ray.
Okay.
See, that's why he's not in real estate, folks.
Fine.
I'm glad you guys think this is so funny.
Yeah, no. We're
that's, I mean, that's what we do.
We take it very seriously.
We don't
Karen.
Take ourselves seriously.
Right.
But we take real estate seriously. What we do very
seriously. But what we're saying is, if I can leave you with something, and I think Maggie would concur, if we can leave you with something is, there are certain problems that you cannot...
you cannot fix this.
Exactly.
Control.
You can't fix it.
But you can make a truce with your neighbors.
Yeah.
Well,
going
right.
forward, you can offer them some landscaping, maybe, when you take care of your garden in the spring. Maybe offer them some shrubbery.
If their fence is falling down, maybe say, hey, listen, you know what? I was thinking about putting up a new fence. How can I put up a new fence and I'll make the good side face your house? Or just something. But the idea is when you're talking to people about the house, you can acknowledge in a friendly way, hey, listen, you know, okay, they're a little sloppy. Probably not going to be living here forever, but look at my house, you know, and look at what I've done over here.
Okay, so play up the positive.
Play up the positive. Always
play up the
positives, and don't try to, you know, again, if there's a.
Are you the best house on the street?
I'm right up there.
Okay. Good for you.
That's nice.
Okay,
that's nice.
So that's a good problem to have.
All right.
Right. So we certainly wish you the best of luck. Again, it'll be a little bit more of a challenge, but I think you'll be okay.
Fair enough. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. If you have a real estate question, Stephen Weiss, Maggie Morrell are here. Home stretch coming up. You know, Zach, the engineer, when I think about real estate, I think about funky music like this. Let's hear it for a minute. Get a little wah-wah pedal. That's real estate, right? Okay. All right, enough. Back to the show. It's 2:40 on a Tuesday afternoon. Ray Graff here on a Vox Pop. It's real estate today. Maggie Morrell, Stephen Weiss are here, and we'll get right back to the phones. But first, let's take a couple of quick emails. This one's from Christine. Your opinions on posting a for sale sign in this day and age with the internet. And that is from Christine in Waterville 8.
Whether or not to post a for sale sign, I say post a for sale sign, folks.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are driving down the street, visiting your neighbors, and they'll see your house. They'll take down your number. You want to do as much as you can to let the world know that your property is for sale.
I mean, I agree about the sign, but in this day and age, if you're looking for a home, you are online all the time. I mean, you're on Mozilla or whatever they call that, and you're always looking for Zillow, I guess it
Zillow.
Is, right?
Yeah.
And
Mozilla is
It's a browser, I think, right? Okay. Well, let's go to this one from Lynn in High Falls. We own a Victorian house in a pretty location next to a creek on a dead-end road. Our private acre and a half has mature trees, and I've created extensive perennial flower beds, a patio, a frog pond, wisteria arbor, and a fenced-in vegetable garden. Guests are usually wowed. I love gardening, always manage the upkeep myself, but is such an extensive garden a liability when it comes time to sell?
A garden can be a liability.
Why?
Because it's a lot of up. It's a lot. Oh, I'm sorry. That's I'm it. So far from
That's
the
fine.
Mic.
Yep.
I'm not used to being this.
All set.
Okay. Because a lot of people don't want the responsibility of keeping up with a garden. With that said, you can just. It's turnkey when you have such a beautiful garden. It's. You don't have to invest.
Right.
In the garden. So. I would say that there's pros and cons to having the garden.
Right.
It can't be a huge liability, though, right? I mean, you just plant, if you don't like the garden, you plant grass.
Well, here's one way of we had a seller house who handled this. He was actually a horticulturalist.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Sorry about that,
folks.
If you
say so.
Yes. So anyway, and what he did was because he loved his garden, and sounds like you love your garden as well, and it sounds beautiful, by the way. So what he did was he prepared a little booklet on how to take care of the garden, so that folks that came and felt that the property may have had a stigma because it's so much upkeep, will have this little how-to manual on how to take care of a garden.
Yeah.
So I think there's a way to equalize the challenge with having such an ornate flower beds or what's been there. And there are some people that are just going to be knocked silly by how wonderful it is. Please tell me that you're going to put your house on the market in the spring or certainly in the early summer. That is your time to shine. So so you may end up with a bidding war for people that appreciate that type of garden. And again, if
people... botanist.
Or a botanist. That's true. Mm. I guess there are certain pluses and minuses.
Makes sense. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Maggie Morrell and Stephen Weiss are here, and Don in New Baltimore is there. Don, you're on.
Yeah, hi. This isn't so much a question as a statement. You had an individual on before wondering about wetland issues, and you may mention that the Department of Environmental Conservation has an online mapping application that you can actually go and click on and off different coverages.
Thank you, Don.
Are you familiar with that?
GIS, yep. The GIS.
Yeah, they have a GIS system.
The GIS mapping system right now for everywhere. That was one of the wonderful things that the federal government did quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
And provides access to data. And that's really terrific. I'm glad that Don mentioned that because, folks, when you're looking to buy a house, that's one of the things you can do as far as your homework is concerned. Go on, put the name of your town and GIS, and do a search, and that's a public domain mapping system. And then there are little boxes to click on the right-hand side. Most of the times it's on the right-hand side. It says DEP wetlands. Mm. It also will tell you if some of those GIS systems, it'll also tell you other things that may encroach it, conservation areas or public rights of way.
Terrific.
So this is a great tool, everybody. If you're looking to buy a house, do that. It's very easy. It doesn't cost anything.
In your experience, both of you, which is more work, selling or buying from your standpoint? If you're representing a buyer or a seller, what's more work for you?
Huh.
More work.
What is
what's more labor intensive?
Yes.
Labor intensive or mileage
work.
Wise?
when do you have to eat more Wheaties or drink more coffee?
I think selling a house is more involved because again, it's so emotional when somebody finally decides to sell their house and you're telling them that I don't know, that wallpaper that they put up in 1962 has got to go, or that that lovely chandelier that they installed in 1975, you know, with the giant globes and the chrome.
It's coming back.
Chrome.
It's coming
right.
back.
It's coming
Remember,
back.
Ray, all of your memories are created in your home.
Right.
Right.
So it's leaving those memories.
Right. Yeah. And also.
And putting them in a box.
Yeah. And
us coming into your home and telling you to declutter.
So right. selling is more for you guys.
People are emotionally attached to their homes. Remember, folks, if you remember how much money you've spent on certain rooms or certain types of decor, they don't generally translate in a sale price.
Ah, yep. And we've had that discussion.
So we've had people say, well, this wallpaper cost me.
It's very difficult to put a number on that.
Right. Yeah. Thousands of dollars.
All right, let's go back to the phones here. Mike in Poughkeepsie. Mike, you're on.
Hi, this is the gals Ballywick.
Oh, Maggie. Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Maggie.
Yeah.
Could resist.
Chiroptera.
Chiroptera. It's hard for me to hear on the phone.
I think that was Latin.
For bat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hand
so anyway, owned a converted barn built in the 19th century full of bats. Bats would come in, and wife didn't like bats. So we got a unique way of having the bats leave the house, living up upstairs. And what we did is at dusk we went around the house, a whole bunch of us, and we saw where the bats were coming up out, hundreds of them.
Mm.
And we pinpointed those places. Put wire mesh in the soffits, the soffits, and put a cone that would get smaller and smaller so they could squeeze their way out, but couldn't come back in. And we left that cone for about, a number of days so the laggards who wanted to leave later on could do that. And then we took the cones out and cover that with mesh.
Ah.
And that's what we did. I just wanted to know what you thought of all of that.
What do you think, Maggie?
I think that's a terrific idea. I think that
a humane way to get rid of the bats?
I think that I wish more people did things like
Good
that.
Good job, Mike. Thanks for the call.
Is it working, Mike?
He's gone. Oh. But I guess they all left.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then they put mesh over, and the bats couldn't get back in.
Great, they went over to the next door neighbor's house
instead of using pesticides.
That's not Mike's problem, right? Let's go to Jamie in Warwick. Jamie, you're on.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, good.
Hi, Jamie.
Yeah, I'm calling because I'm a natural builder, focusing in with a technique called Cobb, also known as monolithic adobe.
All right,
and this isn't a very well accepted practice because it's not in the building code for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering how you would approach a building inspector with something that isn't permitted. Mm. I teach this method as well. It's very popular in Oregon and California.
Okay.
It's all not permitted there. People usually build these things and ask for forgiveness or build them small enough to.
Okay, this one might be a question they can't answer, but let's just throw it out there.
You know what? I'm not familiar with this type of building, but we do every once in a while get something where somebody has a fantasy about building, I don't know, out of unusual materials or things that somehow are not listed in the code. The problem is that if it's not in the code. And first of all, yes, you do approach the building inspector and just to confirm whether or not this would be in the code. If you build something that is not to code, it cannot be you can't lend money against it. They have most towns have the right to demolish it if it's not built according to code, and that goes for any state.
So you can build it, but you can't sell it. Very easily, and you can't finance it.
You can't sell it, or the problem is if they determine that it is not built to code, and that's any structure,
right?
I do believe that the towns have the right to demolish it.
Mm.
So it's There's your biggest challenge.
Well, Jamie, thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Oh, this is a fun show. We have Maggie Morrell and Stephen Weiss here of William Pitt Sotheby's in Great Barrington. Let's go to line four. And John in New Windsor. John, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is a 1928 house that was split into two families back in the 50s, and there's also a mobile home on the back of the property.
Okay.
Also put in the 50s. So mm-hmm. It's a non-conforming property.
Right.
I bought it in 2001, sailed through the mortgage process with no problems at all. And then in 2011, post-bubble, I tried to refinance it and had all kinds of problems because of the new sets of rules, and none of the national banks wanted to take it because they couldn't package it and resell it to somebody else. And I went through several times where they came out to appraise, and I had to pay for the appraisal each time, but each time none of the underwriters would do it. So finally I ended up taking a loan through a local bank, but it was a 7-1 ARM. And, you know, now I'm in the second year of the variable part of that, and the rates are really changing quite a bit. And I'm trying to figure out, can I get a real loan or a real mortgage either through a bank, and I get a 15-year? I mean, What's the story with the process, and is it still as onerous as it was?
It's very difficult. You have your work cut out for you. Banks, remember, banks have gotten burned now on several different cycles, and each time there's what we term sometimes an overreaction during, you know, once they've gotten burned, and then things loosen up a little bit, and then things get a little wacky again, and banks get burned, and then there's an overreaction. I think you need to go from from bank to bank to bank to bank. Certainly, a local bank is your best bet because they understand the property and they understand the area. You don't think that they would be prepared to give a mortgage on the next person to purchase your house?
Well, no. I was, you know, when I tried to refinance, right. When I did refinance in 2011, you know, the rates were, you know, 3% or something right. like that. But I couldn't take advantage of it. The 7-1 ARM that I took started off with a 5%, just because. I don't know. I mean, I had a really good credit rating. I had a, you know, long, steady job, all that kind of stuff. It's just the nature of the property.
Listen, you know what? One possibility is have you talked to mortgage brokers who basically have a little bit more of the knowledge?
I talked to one recently that works with a friend of mine, and He investigated back and forth. He actually has an underwriter that's right across the hall from him, so he's able to do that much quicker than some other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But he said to me, it really depends on how the appraisal comes through and how it values the trailer in the backyard.
Why don't you just get rid of the trailer?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Get rid of the trailer. My mother-in-law's in it.
Oh. Well, do you like your mother-in-law? Making a package deal.
Well, you can still get rid of it. Just make sure she's not boiling soup.
All right, John. Well, listen, we got a number of calls here, and I appreciate that this is a tough one, but good luck with that. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Patty in West Sand Lake. Patty, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I'm interested in selling my house, and I'm just wondering if you guys have any comments on the best websites I can start looking at for comp prices.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Well,
hi, Patty.
Comps, that's a key thing,
right?
Yes.
Well, that's a rule. That's one of the
101 real estate.
Yes, comps. So, Patty, the first thing about comps, and this is very important, I think that most people, when they think about comparables, and that's what a house has, other houses have listed or sold for, is you want to use what houses have actually sold for. So a lot of people make the mistake of actually looking for comps, and they say, well, you know, down the street, some guy is asking for $1.5 million for this house, and my house is only $500,000. That's what they're asking. That's not necessarily what they're going to get. So the mm-hmm. first rule of comps is look for the solds, not for the listed.
Mm.
Okay. There are there are lots of and the second rule. You see, I like rules.
Yeah.
the second rule is multiple sources.
Yes.
That's very, very
okay. Important. But what are some of those sources? Yeah, we're running out of time.
Okay. You certainly all the websites, Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com.
Will they show sold listings?
Absolutely.
You can you filter those?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Oh, I guess that's the way to go, Pam.
And also, if you we'll also pull then, property cards on homes. They'll tell you what they've
home
sold
books,
for.
Magazines. They have those.
What are property cards?
Well, there's a property card on every house that exists generally in your town.
Where are they?
And where do you get that?
You go into the town website.
Where do you get them?
Okay, that's a good question. I'm glad you all asked me that.
Yes.
Go into the town website. It's either under the assessor's page.
Ah.
Okay. You look for a link there.
Well, do you live, Patty?
West Sand Lake.
Okay. So go to your.
Yeah. So go to, or you can go to Town Hall in West Sand Lake and say, listen, I'd like the property card on this and this property.
Okay.
It's all public information. It tells you exactly what it's sold for.
All right. Very good. Thank
you. Own property card.
And very quickly, we only have about 30 seconds for Maria in Grafton. Maria, can you make it quick?
Hi, yeah. We have some rental properties that we are thinking about selling in the next year or so. And my question is, are we better off to show them as occupied units or empty them out from, I guess, a staging perspective?
So evict the tenants and then sell. Okay.
Well, we always...
You only have 15 seconds.
Okay. Well, listen, everything, it's easier to sell something that's empty.
Okay.
So that's basically
all right. Well,
line.
Fair enough, Maria, and good luck. Well, this was fun. And Maggie and Stephen, how do we find out more about what you do at William Pitt Sotheby's? There's a website?
Yes, WilliamPitt.com.
WilliamPitt.com?
Or Sotheby's.com. And we're in the Great Barrington office in Massachusetts. So you can certainly find us there and our profile's there.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Support comes from New England Hydroponics, the indoor gardening experts. Offering a full selection of hydroponic supplies, organic soils, and indoor gardening equipment located in Auburn, Marlboro, Seekonk, and Southampton, Massachusetts, online at nehydro.com. Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing seniors with transitional care and rehabilitation therapy as they move from hospital care to another level of care or home, daughtersofsarah.org. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, presenting the opening of the second Buddha, Master of Time, with a curator's tour and public reception February 9th at 4 p.m. skidmore.edu/tang. Thanks again to Maggie Morrell and Stephen Weiss of William Pitt Sotheby's for being here. Thank you for listening and for some very interesting calls. And for the first time in several real estate shows, no calls about buried bodies in the backyard. I really appreciate that. We're really moving up. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Susie Chekai. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on the show, we discuss this year's big game. It's a football game. It happens at the end of the NFL year. The NFL doesn't like us saying it. It's a big, huge matchup. It's super. We'll talk about the world of sports tomorrow. Right now, stand by for news.